I'm going to read from John 21. And I want to just kind of set you up a little bit for this, okay? When I'm reading this, I want you to think about where else in the Gospels you've heard something similar. Okay? So some of you will be able to get there, and we'll talk a bit about that in a moment. So this is John 21, beginning at verse 1, going to 14. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way: Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out, got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment round him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you've just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So, some of you may be cross-referencing already. Where else have you seen that? Where else have you heard something similar to that in the Gospels? The initial call of the disciples, Luke 5. So, if you go to Luke 5, right at the beginning. So, think about this. John, his account of this, right at the end of his gospel, right at the beginning of Luke's, he is telling a similar account. And what he describes is again, it's an unsuccessful fishing trip. This time Jesus is with them, and he tells them to put out into deep water, let down the nets for a catch. They obediently do that. They catch a large number of fish. It's not named what the number is. The nets begin to break. They get help. And then Simon Peter falls to his knees in front of Jesus, says, "Flipping heck," or something along those lines. Actually, it's reported as, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." And Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." Calling right at the beginning of Luke's gospel. So that's what I want us to have in mind. It's like, you know, this beginning and end thing. This account of two unsuccessful fishing expeditions. The engagement of Jesus with those expeditions. Here's Jesus calling out to them, saying, "Have you caught anything yet? Have you any fish?" I love that because it just seems conversational. I was saying at 9 o'clock, talking about this, that so often my instinct is a guilt instinct. I'm sure you can't be like me. But my instinct is guilt, and it's like, "Have you any fish?" "No, I'm a rubbish evangelist." I've got to confess, that was immediate. I read it, and that was what immediately went to my mind. It's like, no, I'm rubbish at catching fish. Because I immediately kind of did this cross-referencing and it led to guilt. And I thought, okay, Lord, what are you saying to me in this? Because I don't think that's the response that I should have had. And I began to look at that kind of phrase and think, well, actually, that's much more invitation. It's not Jesus accusing them of being rubbish. It's Jesus, you know, calling out to them and saying, have you caught anything? You know, it's not an accusation, it's kind of an invitation. It's Jesus engaging with his people, with he's been intentional, he wants to bring them to a point of being with him. Because he wants to be with them. He wants to be part of our lives. He wants to be part of their lives. He's, you know, he's not accusing them of being rubbish. And of course, their experience of post the cross has been an experience of great turmoil. You know, they'll have questioned everything, won't they? You know, who is this I'm following? Is he really alive? Yes, he is. No, he isn't. Yes, he is. No, he isn't. Here he is. No, he isn't. All that. I mean, you know, they're going to be bewildered in massive turmoil, churned up. I must say, this is just the ideal way for them to encounter Jesus. It's exactly the way that I'd want to if I was in their situation. It's exactly the way, funnily enough, that I've many times experienced encounter with Jesus, coming alongside me, asking me questions, inviting me in, loving me. Both experiences of unsuccessful fishing were the invitation to keep learning from Jesus and keep drawing close to him and find ourselves in him. And that's maybe the kind of the first point I'd want to make. That here was here was the original call, the reminder of the original call. C.S. Lewis said, people need to be reminded more than instructed. People need to be reminded more than instructed. We need to be reminded. We need to be reminded, like we've had already reminders this morning, that we're his. That he's called us. That he loves us. That we're his disciples, we're his learners, we're going to learn from him. And that's okay. And that's a good place to be. We need reminders of our original calling and what we're wired to do as we encounter him and grow in him, that we're to be people who, from that call, go to others. 153 fish in the Jewish mindset of the time. We gather that they thought there were about 153 nations in the world, and it's like kind of those are the nations of the known world to the Jews. Here's 153 nets, brought in nets that now weren't breaking. You know, the message is, you can do this because I have called you and I will teach you. You can learn from me, Jesus is saying. Matthew 11, 28, 29. Come to me, all who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, Jesus says. We're called to be sent, and we're sent with capacity. The capacity to be able to do all that is necessary to reach all people, all nations. We don't feel like a lot of the time. We feel pretty small and frail and messed up. But Jesus has, by his call in our lives, given us the capacity to go to all nations. So there's a reminder of original call, and we just need to keep being reminded of that. And one of the lovely things about the stories that were shared earlier on was that they suggest the ways in which different people are being called and being shown ways in which they can share faith. And it was so wonderfully ordinary. And what it's demonstrating is that we as a church have grown in our capacity to do that, and we are all growing in our capacity to do that, and we're being sent, and the God who sends us has given us sufficient resources to be able to do that. We're living testimony to the power of God to tell his story. That leads me on to the second point. There's a big question in here about resources. Whose resources? In my Bible, I've got a post-it that's been in there for years that just asks the question, do it self or do it with Jesus? And every time I get to the back, to the end of John's Gospel, I see that post-it again, and it reminds me, it's not about my resources. It's not about reliance upon myself. Those disciples went fishing, doing something that they can do. And they didn't do very well with it. But Jesus comes alongside them. And he shows them how to do it. His resources are enough for them. More than enough. He's able to say, put your net down there. And they do it, and they get a catch of fish. Why there? Why are the fish there and not where they've been putting the nets before? Jesus knows. Try the other side. There's resources. And maybe we're not very far from the resources that we need. So if you're in a situation where you're feeling like you're out of resources, or you just don't know what to do next, you don't know where to go next, you don't know. Are you going to trust that don't know instinct? Are you going to enter into that? Or are you going to say to Jesus, Jesus, show me which side to fish? I trust you, Jesus. One of the things that I've been very challenged by this last week, I think it was while we prayed on Monday or Tuesday at 9 o'clock here, was a real challenge about trustfulness. And I had a kind of great sense that the Lord was saying to me, Mark, do you trust me? Mark, do you trust me? And I found that there were areas of lack of trust that were being highlighted, just lovingly and gently by the Lord. Do I really trust him? Because I have this tendency to do things myself. To trust myself more than I trust Jesus. And it just felt like a call once more to trustfulness, being full of trust in the one who's got all the resources. And I'm kind of doing some process on that, and finding that the Lord is still speaking to me in those kind of areas. Whose resources, who are we going to trust, is the key question. Because my own resources are not enough. And there's a call, therefore, into obedience. And you get that in John, in that reading we had in John, but also in Luke 5 as well. This obedience thing that goes on. And we've got to hear that. Part of being a disciple, and the main thing about being a disciple of Jesus, is to obey. And teach them to obey everything I've commanded. Great Commission. So to live into obedience is about trustfulness. Being trusting is about living in obedience to to Jesus, who gives all the resources that are necessary for us. Living into his resources is the call on our lives. And finally, there's this wonderful invitation to eat breakfast. And there's this amazing scene. A friend of mine, Mike Holt, years and years ago, he was teaching from this, and he was talking about it and telling the story. It was an all-age type setting, and he got out this little camping stove and, you know, lit it, and then he got a fish out and he kind of filleted it, and, you know, he did. I mean, he was doing this all in front of people. It was kind of quite amazing. I wish I could do these kind of things. And he basically prepared a fish and cooked it in front of everyone. And the smell. I think he upset a few people, because the church smelled of fish for quite a long time afterwards. But it was really, I'm just saying that it's really evocative. That is, it's kind of visceral almost. It's kind of, you know, do you get that? There's something about this scene that's really like that. That, you know, here's Jesus, and he's got a fire going, and he's already got fish on it. Now he sent them fish on the other side. They're dragging all these fish, but he's got something on the go already. But what's really fascinating about that is that not only has he got something on the go, but he also says to them, "Bring what you've got. Bring some of the fish." And it's this picture, this wonderful picture of participation. You know, we're invited to bring what we've got. And what we've got joins what he's got. You know, who's got the better deal here? And that joining together is a picture of what we've been invited to and what we're continually being invited to. You know, this is eating with Jesus. You know, remember Revelation and the invitation, you know, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And, you know, if you enter that door, you get to be able to sit and eat with him and him with you. Jesus keeps inviting us to participation. And the problem is that our images of God are so often skewed. It's so often either highly dependent on what we can bring and us feeling dissatisfied with what we're bringing, or us feeling like we've got nothing to bring, or us not trusting God that he's got something to bring. Do you see where I'm going with that? Our image of God so often is skewed the wrong way. And the message of the gospel, this is the good news, folks. The good news is that Jesus says, "Come and eat with me, and I will eat with you." Just come and share a meal. This is what it's all about. It's, you know, folks, it's not hard. I just love to eat with you. I love to have communion with you. I love to be in fellowship. All those words. And we make it such hard work. But we've got to set that into the context of those other things. There's a call that's a reminding call of our original call. And our call is to be people who don't just have a nice internal journey with Jesus, but we're sent people. We're sent with good news. We've got a gospel to share. And the good news is you can sit and eat with Jesus and he will sit and eat with you. And if we're going to get there and we're going to live in that kind of way, we have to trust him for his resources. He has got enough for you. He will show you where to fish. He will show you where the resources are that you need at the time that you need them. And our posture, our response, our way of responding to Jesus is simply trustfulness, obedience, and learning how to live like that. That's why we as a church do all the so many of the things that we do are just all pointed towards enabling us all to get better and better and better at responding to the call of God. That's why we do huddles, that's why we do communities of practice, that's why we do, you know, that's why we, when we gather together, we share stories of what God's doing, because we're just trying to all the time stir that up, stir this kind of stuff up that I'm talking about amongst us. And you know what? What I see all these years after we started, 5 years since we became Kairos, 8 years since I arrived here in Harrogate, what I see is increasingly people just being able to talk about what God's saying and what I'm going to do about it. And I love that. I love that. People being disciples. So what's the Lord doing in you at the moment? Is he reminding you of your original call, the call to be a sent person, to go? Is he reminding you of that? Of how he's wired you to be able to be a person who goes and fish for people? There's a learning thing in there, isn't there? Is he saying to you, maybe, that you've got a call in your life at the moment to trust him more? Are you detecting in yourself that your trustful levels aren't very full? That you're not full of trust, that there are areas of doubt? Is he highlighting those for you? In which case, the simple thing to do is to declare obedience to Christ. And to ask him to teach you how to live beyond doubts. Or is he perhaps inviting you into deeper fellowship and communion with him, to just sit and eat with him, to bring what you've got and to receive what he's got and enjoy it? Is he giving you an invitation to eat at the moment? And I've said already, for me this week he's highlighted some trust stuff. But I do think overall for us as a church, there's a real call to be eating with him. And we're hearing loads and loads as we pray and as we just kind of listen to God about identity, about being found in him. And, you know, I think God's stirring some of that stuff up as well, a lot. What about you? Just be quiet for a moment. There's a Kunal leading us in worship already. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Invite the Holy Spirit to move in your life. Lord Jesus. One or two of you just need to take hold of a reminder this morning. The Holy Spirit is reminding you of your call, and you know it. You've articulated it before. You've encountered God and you've known his call. Allow the Holy Spirit to remind you of that. Perhaps you, like me, have experienced the Lord just highlighting areas where you don't fully trust him. We confess the times when we have tried to do things our way rather than your way. Or we've been reluctant to put the nets over the other side. Forgive us, Lord, where we've been disobedient. Thank you, Lord, that you have all the resources that we need, that we can trust you.